Hello! Don't forget that if you would like to be a guest on the podcast, have your music featured on an episode, or just want to follow us for all our latest happenings, you can find us on Twitter at MBB Podcast, Instagram at Men Behaving Badly, and on Facebook. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so that you can download and listen to us whenever you like. And of course, please drink responsibly. Thank you. Hello! And welcome to episode 33 of Men Behaving Badly. Every cloud water has a silver lining. Bit of a long, convoluted title for that. But we're back! Hooray!
Hooray.
Again, after another brief hiatus. As always, I'm here with Tom.
Hi, everyone.
And with Ashley.
Hello.
And we are at the beer house. We're outside at the beer house.
It's absolutely packed tonight, isn't it?
Freezing our tits off.
Find a recording corner. Yeah. We're stuck next to the fire exit.
Yeah, exactly. But we've got four lovely beers to warm us up, all from cloud water, if you could not guess that from the title.
I feel like you're putting the emphasis on the wrong part.
Cloud water.
I just meant to say cloud water.
Awesome cloud water. It's because I've got the Goldfinger theme stuck in my head.
I'll put it on the last syllable. Cloud water.
We're not doing that again this week.
No, move on.
So this is the these are four cask ales from their Autumn Winter collection, Autumn Winter 18. We've got the pale, the DDH pale, the brown, and the India Porter.
I think we're all looking forward to what you say about the brown.
Oh, yeah. We'll see how many woods are mentioned. So let's just get cracking straight on, shall we, boys, with the first one. I think we agreed that we were going to have the Porter first.
Yep, straight in with the Gale.
So the AW18 India Porter, which is written down here as roast and chocolate malts accents with passion fruit and pine.
So the passion fruit and pine really intrigues me with the Porter.
Absolutely. Really I don't know if I'll have to repeat that over the sound of a car going over gravel, but we'll see. So, yeah, the India Porter, 5.3%.
I mean,
what are your first impressions on the look?
It's dark.
Very dark, isn't it? Yeah.
I mean, it's dark out here. But
liquid tar.
Well, yeah, that's why I've got my phone on it.
Yeah.
Phone light.
Well, we've got a little bit of artificial light, but yeah. No, it is absolutely dark. Yeah.
100% dark.
What are you getting on the nose there, Tom?
I feel like out here, all I'm getting is like fresh air. Do you know what I mean? Because it's just a bit.
I kept getting closer and closer, and I may have snorted some of that.
Oh, okay, fair enough. I thought you were laughing at me covering my nose. Myself.
Classic head snort.
I'm picking up a bit of that passion fruitiness, I think.
I don't think I am. I'm getting
tarty. You said tarty, didn't you? Did you say tartiness a minute ago?
No.
Oh, we're going to listen back in a minute. What did you say?
I think so.
I didn't say anything.
You said something else. You smelt it.
No.
Oh, that's strange.
No.
Anyway.
Sorry, mate.
No, I'm
getting malt. I'm getting malt and a bit.
Yeah, there's a bit of sweet.
I'm picking up another hint
sweetness.
Of fruit, but nothing too overpowering on that.
No.
So, cheers, boys. It's been a while.
It has. Cheers.
It's
my doing.
Cheers,
sorry about that.
It's all the best.
That's all right. Sri Lanka look lovely, you bastard. So what do you think?
Sorry, just swill of porter, as you said.
No,
it's amazing. You get the coffee in that, isn't it? I'm really getting that chocolate coffee. More than the passion fruit just comes in right at the end for me. Just a bit of, like, I don't know if it's just the sweetness, actually, of the chocolate, but
I don't know. I feel like more at the beginning I can already get that kind of tinge of fruit come through. Definitely picking up the coffee. I'm not sure how much of the chocolate malt I'm actually picking up in that.
I'm getting from the chocolate malt, I'm getting the sweetness of the chocolate malt. Mm. I think there's a roast, the roastiness, coffiness is there straight away all the way through for me. That's
Yeah, there is. It's a sweet
absolutely.
It's a sweet coffee for me.
I
don't think if I had it blind, I don't think I would get passion fruit. I don't think I'd put that on my list.
It wouldn't be the first one that came to mind.
No, it's definitely a sweet coffee, but I don't know if I'm getting fruit sweetness or just sort of chocolatey sugar sweetness.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm getting just that. It's just a little bit of both. It's more of the chocolate sweetness, way more of that, like dark. It's like dark chocolate for me. but not the bitterness you get with dark chocolate, really. And then, I don't know, there's a slight, almost, yeah, fruity sweetness, like you say, actually. Yeah. But not tons. It's, no. It's more...
Not tons.
The overarching flavours are
the
coffee.
Yeah, and actually, I think if you had chocolate and coffee and then passion fruit as real dominant flavours, I think that would actually be quite off-putting. I don't think they would marry.
No.
But I think if passion fruit's giving a little sort of subtle sweetness, and actually it's quite an odd texture. Not texture, but thickness. It seems to change. I feel like when you first drink it, it feels like quite a light body, but then actually the aftertaste makes me feel like it was quite thick, and I can't quite place where it is on the thickness thinness scale.
Yeah.
And I'm finding that quite challenging in a good way. But I think if you were having a huge amount of passion fruit in there, I think that would be really overwhelming and overpowering. So
yeah, I'm glad it's just balance. A hint of yeah. that kind of fruity sweetness. I don't think this tastes, I don't want to say anywhere close, but it certainly doesn't taste a 5.3 to me. Even for a porter, I think this tastes quite a fair bit lower.
No, I mean, I do get a bit of, I think because of the amount of sort of you get of that roasty coffee and chocolate sweetness, I think it gives you a bit of a sense of a boozy hit.
Yeah.
But yeah, not, I don't know, I'd place it close to a 5, maybe not over, but yeah, it's...
I think with porters, you've kind of got the general idea that you're going to be in the ballpark of somewhere between...
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, over 5, certainly. So you've got that general idea in your head anyway. But yeah, as you say, the kind of roastiness of it does give that idea that it's going to be... It's got that boozy texture to it, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. But I like it. What are your thoughts?
I like it. Mm-hmm. I think I could definitely have... pint of it. I think it would be a nice, you know, we're talking about the darker nights now, the colder days,
yeah.
and I think this is perfect. It's a good way to start. I know we've got some lighter pails later on.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's probably
a good way to start, and
it's a good
actually,
starter, yeah.
Sitting outside with it being a bit cold, this is actually going down really nicely and really suits the mood, I think, the environment that we're in.
Mm.
And I like the sweetness to it, but yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Fabulous. Ashley?
Yeah, very much so. No, I completely agree, actually. I think it's really drinkable. It's really smooth. Coffee's nice without being too bitter. Bit of sweetness takes the edge off it. Yeah. I think I'd quite happily have a pint of that.
Do you think you'd have more than one? I don't think I would. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I could,
yeah.
But I don't think... As I say, I think it's a good starter... I think I'm kind of excited to see what else, you know, comes of the next.
With this,
beers
I think
got,
I don't know
so.
It's because of the sweetness, but it's. I don't tend to drink porters or dark beers really quickly.
Mm.
I think they're ones I tend to savour a bit. Maybe not to say savour a bit more, but I tend to take the time a bit more. But I've really. I had to slow down when I was sipping this because it was sort of. I was really like gulping it down.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Yeah.
Actually, I find it quite. For a darker beer, quite sort of
it is thirst quenching, and actually I think you get more of that fruity note with a bigger gulp, and that's the approach I was taking, was that I was sort of going the opposite direction to you and actually taking bigger gulps every time
I went bigger
back
in
to
this
it.
One.
So you know, I think that's really interesting. It would be interesting to see that without the influence of passion fruit, to see what difference it's making, because I think it's difficult to know what it's adding in isolation, but
yeah,
I think it's really nice. It's really well balanced.
Good start.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, this is straight off cask as well. So,
yeah, so all four cask. Did you say that at the start?
Yeah, all four
yeah,
cask.
All four cask. Yeah, they've got, is it another 3 on keg, haven't they, tonight?
Keg.
Yeah. Card water.
Yeah.
I can't remember what they are, but.
They're great.
I'm sure we'll try them after the podcast.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
But no, it's honestly, on a personal note, it's brilliant having clad water here because it's just one of those breweries that everyone talks about.
Mm.
Obviously I went to the Cloudwater takeover at Beer Gorilla in Northampton,
yeah,
but I haven't really had anything there since, and you just keep seeing them, so many releases of what they do, and you just kind of they're the source of my FOMO, of like beer FOMO,
yeah,
that I'm getting
for how big Cloudwater really is. It's surprising how little I think I especially have had of Clare Water.
Yeah.
So it's nice to, yeah, as you say, take over here at Beer House, and we're getting to really enjoy these. So
yeah, and the cask option, which obviously is, yeah, you know, it seems to be a bit of a thing at the moment. BrewDog are talking about bringing cask back or whatever, and and Clare Water now offering some cask options. I think it's great that they're doing that. But it's just, for me, it's just great that we're getting Clare Water in our
it
local.
It is. I think if you look at the board on offer tonight, it's absolutely exceptional across the whole piece. So I think we'll take a picture and we'll send it out, because we've got Braybrook that we've
locally
also
we had Braybrook, Lanterns,
Three Hills
and Three Hills.
As well. Yeah. Yeah, you know, they're all featuring alongside massive
Clare Water. Add a Slopian Lemon Dream, which is amazing just for the podcast.
It's an absolute standout board.
It's a great board tonight. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Considering you got seven Clare Waters on, there's other beers actually matching up to it.
Yeah,
fantastic. Interesting point, actually, you were saying about BrewDog saying that they kind of wanted to bring cask ales back. It's just a thought I had just then. Obviously, this whole idea of like craft beer becoming a big thing now. How important do you think cask beer is in relation to all of that, in terms of the grand spectrum of like cask beer? Kind of, I can't say it's really making a comeback now. I think it's sort of made its comeback, and it's, you know, it's here and it's strong now, from our perspective at least, anyway. But how big a role do you think cask beer is in that?
I think, because it's just a very, it's an English thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a British thing, cask. So, I mean, this is going to show our amateurs, but I don't know how much cask do they have in like America. Is it all more keg? I have no clue.
Absolutely no
but
idea.
I feel like it's a very British thing. So I think it's really important to our traditional pubs, and you still got people who like the traditional pub.
Yeah.
And like a good, like we've got brown ale tonight, but like a brown ale and cask and stuff. But I think what's good for me, in terms of how it fits into the craft world, is people like Cloud Water, BrewDog, or whoever it is, putting some just like outstanding beers on cask, and not just automatically on keg. And I think whether it will open more people's eyes to it, I think it's more about the standard of the beer we're getting on cask. It's not just the fact of, oh, okay, it's your local standard ale that's going on cask, or it's your Doombar or Bombardier, whatever it is, you know, standard beers are on cask. And I think starting to have breweries like this giving it more attention would fit in well with the, I think a lot of people in the craft beer world will welcome it and will really enjoy it.
But I
don't know how it fits in terms of maybe getting, if it's like in terms of new drinkers.
Yeah, because like obviously at supermarkets,
like, could you see a,
look at supermarkets, and you know, they don't sell casks, because you know, it'd be a bit of a nightmare, I think, to kind of sell casks through the supermarket.
Some cask beer while you're going around it in your shop.
Yeah. And obviously, supermarkets now kind of getting on the craft beer kind of front is a big part of this whole kind of renaissance of craft beer. So that's why I was kind of thinking how big in terms of the grand spectrum of things, in terms of,
well, so
the market
to try and seek a significantly more informed opinion, I've posted that exact question on our Twitter now.
Yeah.
And you never know, maybe throughout this conversation or by the end of all of this, someone will come back and give us some form of opinion.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're sort of pushing that out to the Miles and the Stephen Martins and the Pauls of this world to jump in and say, cask is massive
especially for guys that have been like, obviously their journeys are much longer than ours, and have had probably a greater range of cask beers than we have. I think, to be honest with you, I think a lot of people, whilst I think cask is important, in terms of craft beer growing, you could easily forget it, couldn't you? Because like you say, you can get cans and bottles in supermarkets now. There's more bottle shops, there's more pubs that just, like breweries, I think, because they're getting out so many new beers now, it's like, it's all on keg, it's just easier, or it's in bottles and cans behind bars and stuff. And, you know, there's more people buying bottles and cans behind bars now than maybe there were before.
Well, I know that...
I think it could, you know, it could easily get left behind. But that's what's brilliant about, you know, with Cloudwater and Brewdong, whoever it is, giving it a bit more of a attention.
Yeah.
You could see it just being a bit more part of the growing craft beer industry.
Well, yeah, I know personally that every time I'll go to a pub now... I'll tend to look towards the craft and keg stuff. I don't really go to the bottles in the fridge. One, because they're too fucking hard to see.
Yeah, true. They are actually sometimes. You're really, leaning over the bar.
Yeah, exactly.
Trying to see what it is.
Tucked over and, yeah, just look really awkward over the bar. And two, because, you know, you don't get craft and keg really much in many other places that it's going to be easily accessible. So, yeah, you know, I go to plenty of bottle shops and, you know, get bottles and cans and whatnot. So, nice to come to the pub and have that difference.
Yeah, so. I find that Freemasons, like, they look like they have a really good, decent range of bottles and cans behind, but they also have a good range of cask and keg, and
I'll always look at the pumps.
Like you say, because I can get bottles and cans at home in the supermarket, so that's my opportunity to have something cask on keg that's fresh and is, you know, cold and carbonated or whatever. But,
unless it's Black Iris. If it's Black Iris,
I feel like I've probably missed out on a few beers that they do have in the fridge.
Yeah.
But you just don't quite... Just don't.
It's something that I've been thinking about.
Go on.
During that conversation, because I haven't said anything during that. because I agree with you. So, let's move on. I was just thinking about the fact that it is sometimes inconvenient to see what people have got in the fridge, and I agree with that.
Yeah.
And that's where I like the untapped boards, the screens... You know, that come up that show what people have got in.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Oh, the ones they got on the one at the beer house.
Yeah, where they've got
that kind of rotating screen of what's
Freemasons.
Do I have to say beer house then?
Yeah, sorry, Freemasons. Yeah.
In places like that. My question was, does a board like that make you more likely to check something in on Untappd so that your name pops up at the bottom?
I mean, it doesn't for you because you don't use Untappd.
So what is in Freemasons?
Yeah, if you check something in where the place has got an untapped board, your name comes up to say what you're drinking.
I didn't realise that's what it was. I thought it was just their way of...
I thought it was their way of showing what was... It is.
I didn't notice that at the Freemasons. I didn't notice that.
It's untapped.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, what's the canal in...
Canal House.
Canal House in Nottingham. Yeah. I noticed that happened there. Did it happen at Freemasons as well, though?
Yeah, if it's an untapped board, because there'll be a verified venue. So if you... If you say that you're drinking it there, it'll come up with your little thing.
I never knew that.
Tom L drinking a whatever.
Yeah.
Not that bothered.
Not bothered?
No.
No, I wouldn't bother.
I don't think I am. And actually, in hindsight, it's not a great question because I don't think anyone is.
I think it's a good question. Because,
it's always exciting to see your name on the TV, though.
I recently listened to Beer O'Clock talking about the use of phones.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, then does it promote the use of the fact that everybody having you going on a tap so you can be on the screen and stuff? And I think, I wouldn't be like that, but I can't see many people being that bothered seeing the name scroll across going they're drinking that because it's
Did we respond to that poll?
No.
I don't think we did we?
No.
No.
But it wouldn't bother me too much. It feels like do you ever, when you're at uni and you went to like your local club and it had like the scrolling screens that if you text it your message would come up.
Yeah.
I just feel like I'm an immature 18 or 19 year old by doing it. I know I'm not like posting a message on there.
Yeah.
But I just feel like back then it was like you could put
I think I was too busy scraping my shoes off the floor at clubs and grotty they were at uni. But
I wouldn't see the appeal in that. There's great appeal in using those screens to show what's additionally on.
It's great, isn't it? Yeah.
You know, can of the week, whatever it is, you know, and great because it will prompt people to look in the fridges. But yeah, those untapped screens, you know, not realizing that it's amazing me they exist, but it doesn't mean I'm going to do it.
How many times do you think, and I don't want you to put a number to it, but how regularly do you think you are forced to stop looking in the fridges and just buy something that's on pump? Because of how inconvenient it is to see everything that's in the fridge.
For me, it's all the time. I always automatically just look at the pump first. These days, I barely even bother looking at the fridges, to be honest with you.
I always look in the fridge, just have a look. But I seem to just always go for... And I think it depends sometimes. Because there's times that I've been in Freemasons and in other pubs. I'm not going to keep saying that, but in other pubs where you sort of go, oh yeah, can I have that? Okay, it might not be a candle bottle, but I'll use an example. I just had it tonight. But oh, can I have the Lemon Dream by Slopian? It's just, and you point kind of down to the fridge, and you just get somebody who just doesn't have a clue what they're looking for, and they're sort of going, this one, and read the labels, and then they finally pull it out. And sometimes you get that awkward kind of, or you see a can, and because of that experience, I see a can, kind of go, oh, I really want to just see what it looks like. Can I be bothered to? I should be bothered.
That was going to be my exact follow-up question. Bartend, how comfortable do you feel asking?
Can I have a look at that can? And I think I'm not uncomfortable in doing it, but I just think sometimes I just, because of experience I've had with some bar staff, I feel like I'm just not gonna, like, if I go, well, what do you think of it? I feel like they're gonna go, I don't know. Yeah, I've got a clue what that tastes like.
If you did it here, beer house,
absolutely. But actually, it's probably something I should and will probably do more, just to actually test the waters with it and just go and actually make my own informed decision. If I don't know about it, then do what I usually do in a bottle shop and just read the can or the bottle and make my own, you know, decision whether I'm going to have it or not.
I had one amazing moment a few years ago where I was with a mate and we were ordering at the bar, and she wanted a strawberry and lime recorder league. And it wasn't even that like busy a bar, it wasn't very loud at all. Guy just leaned in the fridge, pulled out a Peroni, put on the thing. We're like, strawberry and lime recorder league. And he was just like, oh. Like, he genuinely thought that she said Peroni. It was just the most mind-boggling thing in the world.
I don't know how you get it
from. Do you ever pick that up? At the same time, like when me and my dad were at Lord's, and he asked for a Coca-Cola, and the guy behind the thing went, Cornish pasty. No, Coca-Cola.
They're very similar.
What? We've got some replies, have we, Ashley?
Should we just get into the next beer?
Yeah, let's get into the beer and talk about the replies.
The only reason I started all those conversations is because it was taking you so long to finish that first one.
Well,
I
finished.
He's done that.
People are going to have an expectation of us having that many questions after each beer.
Well, we're having the brown now, aren't we? The 4.9%. Yeah. So let's cheers it, boys, and then we'll have some of the replies.
Cheers.
So cheers.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers, Tom. All the best, mate.
So, Ashley, reel off some of the replies we've got.
I have to say that our followers are genuinely amazing.
Yep.
Because we posted that 8 minutes ago. And we've already had responses from 4 separate people.
Perfect.
So, Beer O'Clock Show said, I actually wouldn't know where to start with this, pointing us in the direction of Matt Curtis. So, we'll see if he's able to respond with an informed opinion, which we know he has.
Yeah.
Sheffield Hopcast, our friends in the Sheffield Hopcast, asked, isn't it virtually a UK only thing with very minor exceptions? Which, based on the following comments, it does seem to be the case. Thanks, guys. Paul, obviously, regular listener, it is, only ever heard of it also being done in the US. He then asks, if we're doing an episode on cask, it would be interesting to discuss the difference between gravity and hand pulled cask.
Ah, you see now.
Join us for episode 133.
Yeah, because I saw a couple of comments in the lead up to, with the Cloudwater release of cask, and people sort of disappointed that it was gravity and not hand pull, or in some places it was gravity and not hand pull. I don't know if it's hand pull, if it is exclusively gravity, sorry, or if it's a bit of both. I don't know. Obviously, we're gravity pour here.
Yes.
So, no, I'm just saying. Yeah. So,
yeah, knowledge, but, great knowledge.
Engineer and gas.
It's engined.
Okay.
There we go.
Maybe, well, shows our knowledge. Fantastic. And then Fountain of Knowledge, Mars Lambert, jumps in to say the US is in the early days of cask, very little around. The UK is way ahead of all other countries.
Yeah, it's that kind of,
which seems
so
to
in
be
terms of our
where
scene,
we were stumbling
scene,
around
I think
to.
It could still be, it's still an important,
massive, I think it, for me, is always what I pictured as beer being, is cask beers, you know, as a sort of early teen and in my pre-beer years. If you asked what's beer, I would probably have described something like cask, because I didn't know any better.
Yeah,
so
I think it's one part of the wider offering in terms of beer, and, you know, people will have strong preferences for it and some people will have strong preferences against it, but I think that's part of the beauty, isn't it? Is that it's one facet of a wider offering, and if it's more popular now than it was in the past, and that's a temporary thing, then we'll ride this wave and then we'll move on to the next one.
Yeah. Like the temporary wave of brute IPA, which seems to have died as quickly as it was around.
And all those sorts of things that, you know, are fashionable for a bit.
So. Exactly. Yeah. Well, Tom, just to describe what the AW18 Brown.
The Brown, 4.9%. Mm-hmm. It's a full bodied, ruinously hoppy. That says ruinously, doesn't it? I'm not saying
ruinously.
That wrong.
Ruinously. Yes, ruinously. Yeah.
Ruinously hoppy throughout and with clean and distinct flavour.
I don't think I've ever seen a beer flavour kind of described as ruinously hoppy. That's a new one on me.
Well, I would say that it isn't, because it hasn't ruined me. So,
well, we'll wait.
I was ruined before.
Yeah, it's got... It is hoppy.
Yes, it is.
It's got some nice hoppiness, a little bit of bitterness. But it is... I do that clean. It's quite sweet. It's got that... It is that kind of, again, that malty sweetness again that we kind of had from the porter.
Very sweet as well. It really kind of ramps up.
There's no kind of real, like, huge hoppy bitterness or coffee or anything like that. But it's just... Obviously, it's not porter. But it's... I really quite like the sweetness and kind of how... It's quite thin, isn't it? I found it, but... not a bad thing to say. I like the
sweetness of it. I still feel like I'm trying to kind of wrap my head around it a little bit. Whether or not
you only need your mouth around it.
Whether or not I'm quite a fan of it or not, I'm not 100% sure.
I think it is a reasonably thin body, but actually it's carrying a huge amount of flavour for that.
Not full-bodied, yeah. No, that's
pretty full-bodied, without being over the top. You know, there's a coffee hit there without being overly bitter. There's a malty note without being sort of too overpowering. There is a little bit of sweetness. There's a tiny bit of chocolate in there as well. And given that the lightness of that body, it is really drinkable.
Do you say it's a clean flavour, as they've described?
To me, clean flavours typically are what I associate as being flavours that... come in and go pretty quickly. You know, I think of sort of citrus things that just sort of cleanse and go. Mm. Whereas this is lingering with a subtle bitterness. So, no, I personally wouldn't describe it as clean.
Yeah. This is clean and distinct flavour. I don't know whether that's kind of... It feels almost
distinct.
Like... Yeah, I feel like that's almost opposite ends of the spectrum in some ways.
No, because you know, something like a lemon... It's both
distinct.
Clean and
distinct, as
far as I'm concerned.
So, but in terms of this...
Well, this isn't a lemon.
No,
by any stretch.
That's not a lemon, yeah.
But, this is not a lemon.
No.
You need to learn about lemons. But
We know me and fruit, so...
I think it's a distinct flavour, because it's sort of in the middle of things, isn't it? You know, it has elements that you associate with a much darker beer. It has those coffee and malty flavours, but it also has that bit of hot bitterness that you would expect, and that light body that you would expect of something paler. So it's sort of in the middle of a lot of things, and I quite like that about it.
Yeah.
But I also don't know if I would ever fancy this. Because sometimes I think you get a hankering. When you really fancy something, it's normally for something that's at one complete end of the spectrum.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think you ever fancy something that's sort of a bit of this and a bit of that and a bit of the other.
What are your kind of general feelings on brown beers, anyway? We don't tend to have many brown beers.
No,
so.
In fairness, when I said, when we were talking about kind of what to have tonight, I did kind of say, yeah, brown, because we don't have a lot of it. But
yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I've had one of their brown ales before, and obviously I know they have they do a lot of variants on the styles. So, and to be honest, I'd have to maybe look through Untappd and have a look. But I seem to like it. I think it was at a takeover at Beer Griller. But I don't know. I think it was just I just kind of thought it might be a bit more. Like earthy in flavour, and like a bit more kind of, I don't know, maybe not as sweet. I think the sweetness surprised me.
Yeah.
But then again, I haven't had tons of brown beers, so I don't know what I'm supposed to be expecting. But,
exactly. Yeah.
I think the sweetness surprised me a little bit. And yeah, maybe expecting more of that kind of, obviously that there's the hoppiness, like the malts, and maybe kind of a, I don't know how to describe an earthy flavour in any other way. I don't know what other.
Well, I'm not going to try because
not
I'm,
earthy.
I'm just going to end up mentioning
it's brown and it's earth, yeah. But I just feel like it a bit more.
It's wood. It's woody. Isn't
I'm,
it?
Not gonna, I'm not going to end up mentioning. Yeah. This is exactly what I was going to say. I've gone
woody or buzz? Is it woody or buzz?
Well, I would say that I can't taste any wood
in this.
So okay. Not tasting wood.
No.
That's a relief.
Or maybe
it
even
it tastes like wood at all.
Exactly.
I don't know. Maybe the sweetness has been more like like a dark fruit sweetness, or red berries or something. But it seems like the sweetness to me is just, this isn't negative at all. But it's, I don't really know, for me, I don't feel like, I don't know. I know where the sweetness is coming from. I don't think it's because I'm not picking up as much of the chocolate.
Yeah.
Before, so it's just a kind of sweet, but like it's not a sweet malt or a sweet chocolate or something. No. But I mean, I like it. Again, I don't think I'd seek it out. But again, I'm not saying I wouldn't seek out brown ales. But no, I just like this. If it was this style, if brown ales were this, I could probably take it or leave it.
Yeah, I think this is a beer that if it landed in front of me, I'd be quite content with that. I'd work my way through a pint of it, and I'd be very happy coming out the other end.
Yeah,
I completely agree that I don't think it's something that I would choose.
No.
I think it's a good beer.
I think, as you say, if it was put in front of me, I'd have it. I'd be pretty content with it. But then I think I'd just move on. I don't think it's it's nothing that's really,
again though,
standing out to me.
I'll go back to my point. I think it's a nice winter beer.
Yeah, for sure. It's really drinkable.
I could see this being more of a, for me, more of like that kind of, not for the there's no booziness to it. But almost like an end of a night beer, where it's kind of like, it's quite clean, quite smooth, it's kind of sweet. Mm. With it being a cask, it's quite easy to drink. I could see myself just finishing on this. It's almost like it's a bit desserty for me.
Yeah, I was thinking that it reminded me of the dessert in a can that we had Christmas last year. It reminds me of that, with the sort of sweetness that you just can't.
Sorry, we place. Recorded last Christmas.
Yeah, I don't know if you've listened back, Tom.
No,
but,
I don't. Oh, fuck for that.
I can't remember that beer at all, so I'm gutted.
Oh, we'll get another one for this year.
Yeah, Christmas is coming back
up
soon.
This year. I really need a wee-wee, so let's pause.
Okay,
well, you go that way.
Mark's going to play some nice lift music. Surely it's that one's like... Ding 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 ding.
Do you know what the official term for lift music is?
No.
It's called muzak.
Muzak.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I can't remember exactly where the name originated from, but yeah, that sort of lift, general lift music that you hear in films and whatnot, is just called muzak.
Hmm.
Yeah. So as I say, I don't know where it originates from. But, yeah.
Fair enough.
Just this generic sort of lounge
just
sound
music,
just
not really,
it's not really anything, and kind of hear, like, you hear muzak versions of songs here and there. If you've ever watched I don't know how big a fan of Foo Fighters you are, but if you've ever seen the music video for Learn to Fly, on the plane, I can't remember which Foo Fighters song is being played over the thing, but it's a muzak version. Oh, I think it's Everlong, and it's like a muzak version of that. So it's like just on the plane while Jack Black and Carl Gass are cleaning up the plane. So nice fun little fact. I might keep that in, actually.
Yeah, keep it in. Yeah, it's a good fact.
Yeah. See if Rhythm and Bruise. Rhythm and Bruise. Give me your favourite piece of muzak. I'll come under Rhythm and Brews and I'll do an entire muzak episode. We just talk about lift music. Be perfect. Or just lounge music in general.
And you're going to have like lounge beers. Beers that aren't really beers. Like muzak isn't really music.
Oh, wow. Beers that aren't really beers. I'll tell you something, actually. Something that definitely will stay in the podcast. I had my first nanny steak the other week.
Did you?
Yeah. Hated it.
Really?
Was not a fan of it.
Funny enough, because yesterday I was just having a look at what Co-op had. Stopped into this,
I haven't been in a co-op
and,
in ages.
Yeah, and because I remember, because I was coming onto a party and I was wanting some non-alcoholic beer. I wanted a beer, but I was driving.
Yeah.
I couldn't find any of the nanny state, and I knew they had it. It really annoyed me. and then spotted it the other day, and they put it on the shelf rather than in the fridges or the other beers.
Oh, right, okay.
So I would have had it, but no, never had it.
No. Yeah. I was just saying, I had my first nanny state couple
of
weeks ago.
Are we still going?
Oh yeah, well we talked about something else.
We talked about early music for a little bit.
Yeah, like
but
yeah.
Nice. I had my first one and wasn't a big fan of it.
I quite like it. Yeah,
you
I
liked it
for a four
you?
Pack. Yeah, I got for a four pack. I quite liked it.
Yeah.
You know, I had four beers and then drove home from London. It was great.
Yeah, that's what I meant to do for KP's birthday, but I couldn't find any of it.
No, I really liked it.
It really annoyed me.
Something just didn't click with me at all.
It's just sort of pretty standard. Reasonably hoppy-ish pale.
I think it lacked the flavour that kind of really comes with the kind of punk IPA.
I'll tell you what is my absolute pet peeve. people not washing their hands in the toilet.
Oh no, what happened?
Oh.
Well, I think it's quite...
I mean, was it you or was it...
No, it wasn't me.
That'd be a bit of a... Big pet peeve is when I don't wash my hands in the toilet.
I don't wash my hands and then I put my hands straight in my mouth. No, this dude, he was at the urinal next to me, and you know, he finished up. Fair enough,
he's answering.
Yeah, he's allowed to do that. He's allowed to stop pissing, it's fine.
A bit weird if he carried
on. He put it back in and then just.
Wait, he put it back in where? Oh, right, his pants.
In his pants.
Okay,
yeah. What did you think? My hand.
Shake it.
Hold that for me a minute, mate, will you?
No, he put it back in his trousers and. Wiped his hands down on his jeans and walked out. But the problem is that to get back from the toilet to here, I had to shuffle past him.
Oh.
Because he was stood in the gangway, so I had to shuffle past. And now I've got pissy hand residue all over my trousers.
Oh, well, at least he wasn't behind the bar.
Fucking dark. No, he was. I can confirm he was not one of the bar staff here.
Yeah.
But also, I just realised that pissy hands residue sounds like a jazz singer from the 50s. Coming up now, we got pissy hands residue.
How's it going, folks?
Pissy hands residue. At the end of the night, and sort of like introducing, and on the saxophone, pissy hands residue.
And slipping off the keys. Yeah. Ah, Sam, my hands are too pissy. Hands are just too pissy tonight.
Oh, dear.
Club manager coming into me afterwards. Pissy hands, you've got to sort them hands out. But it's my thing!
Put some gloves on, piss it! Put some gloves on! Anyway.
Wow.
Right, should we do a third bit?
Yeah.
I think pissy hands residue might be my favourite thing ever. Right, let's move on to
So we've gone from pretty dark to quite light, haven't we?
Quite light, yes. Now, here's the test for you. So we'll do the DDH pale next.
Yes.
Can you remember which one of these is the DDH pale?
Yes, because two of us have put them in an order that made it easier to remember.
Oh, all right then. Well, I remembered as well. So
we specifically put them in an order so that we didn't.
So we're on DDH pale.
We're on the DDH pale, yes.
5.5.
Yep.
Nice. Zesty citrus fruit in both flavour and aroma, backed up by resinous hop notes.
Interesting descriptions of the hops that
they've
got on these.
Yeah, it's a hoppy smell. And actually, resin is one of those words that people have used a lot in other podcasts.
Have you had resin though?
No, I haven't had resin.
Right, so I don't know, I can't remember which brewery it's by. I think I've told you guys the story, but I've not said it on the podcast.
I don't know why, but that just sounded really sarcastic when you said, no, I haven't had resin.
No,
just really arsey, sorry. Yeah, just like, really
yeah, so I'd heard, again, like other podcasts talking about this stuff.
Yeah.
And I was on, this is a couple of months ago, airport. Wetherspoons and just saw resin.
Yep.
And I thought, oh yeah, you know, I've heard like so much about it. You know, it's kind of like a tall sort of thin can. But yeah, go for that. Yeah, and this is like 8:30, 9 in the morning.
Yep.
But you're on holiday, aren't you? So you can have a beer.
Yeah.
So he puts it down and I thought, oh, I'll check it out. 9.8%, whether it is.
Ooh,
9
great.
Plus percent.
Ooh, great.
Oh wow, but British thing. You know, just didn't go, well, actually.
that's
not for me. I'll keep going for it. I was hungover on the plane, I'm telling you. In that time that I drank it and then got on the plane, I was hungover, I had a headache.
Bloody hell.
And it was really good. Sorry, just some light. It was really nice, but yeah, that was a big beer to have at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Just as a very genuine question, is this actually snow?
Do you know what?
It was easier to see when we had those headlights on.
I said to Beck on the way home, I said, it looks like it's a snowy, it looks like a snowy sky.
It honestly looked like, because it wasn't just falling, it was falling and then coming back up again, where the snow does.
The light was kind of,
So anyway, interrupted you there.
Resin knocked you out, drink as much of it as you can, because apparently Spoon's getting rid of it.
Oh, right. Fair enough.
Because pissheads are drinking at 8:30 in the morning.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Better pissheads.
I can't believe they served it to me at that time.
Better pissheads than piss hands. Cheers, boys.
Cheers, boys. Cheers. To the memory of pissy hands residue.
The memory? What, you've killed your Jasper?
Yeah, because he was in his prime in the 50s.
Ah, right.
With not many germs on his hands, he's going to be dead.
Yeah, that's true. What'd he die of?
Car
crash.
Hand slipped off the wheel. Hand slipped off the wheel.
Ah, my pissy hands! It's actually written on his headstone. Ah, my pissy hands.
It smells like an orange lemon squash.
Ah, yes, the juice man is back.
Smells great,
and I must say, from the first taste, really tastes great as well. Yeah, that's that citrus is just straight there from start to finish.
Yeah, it is. Actually, I think it's a really nice balance between citrus and hop. Because I think with some of these, you sort of just get this massive slap of hop and a bit of fruity note. But there actually seems to be sort of waves of citrus and hop balancing off against each other.
Mm.
It's fab.
Yes. No, I am.
Yes.
Yes.
I concur.
Move on. Next beer.
Positive.
No, that is. I'm struggling to not just smash that. Right now.
Yeah, great. Absolutely. You're already halfway through it. Bloody hell.
Really good. Again, it's one of those beers as well that, full flavours. The aroma was good, but it's got that really nice sort of hoppy, fruity, kind of lingering taste in your mouth.
Mm.
It's just that's what makes you want to keep going back.
Start to finish and then nice, some. With that citrus flavour.
And I think in the past, I think I've said sort of beers like this, I maybe preferred like with a bit of carbonation and kind of a bit colder and stuff, but actually with it being less carbonated,
that's the correct terminology,
and more and cask, the flavours still like just come through brilliantly,
beautiful
in this style.
Yeah,
I don't know, I always feel like sometimes in this style, like you need that bit of like the right temperature and a bit of carbonation to bring those flavours through, but actually like you don't with this. It's just
that's the thing. I'm a really big fan of this, and I'm also really intrigued to try it in something that isn't cask form, so whether it be keg or whether it be a bottle or can, just to see that difference it makes, because as you say, this is a really, really good balance of the citrus and the hop.
I'd
love to see if that still maintains.
I want it to warm, and that's not going to happen because it is very cold.
Well, apparently it's snowing outside.
It's very cold. It genuinely may be snowing outside, and it's very cold outside, so it isn't going to warm.
I've got a hat on.
But I,
beanie hat. That's
I just
how cold
wonder.
It is.
I just
so happy with that. I've got a hat on.
It's so cold, I've got a hat on.
You sounded a lot zippy when you said that.
I've got a hat on.
How bungle.
Zippy, your hat looks great.
All those people who said they were pleased we're back. Why does
your hat say opening up, by the way? What's the...
It's a charity about mental health. It's trying to get people to open up about their things.
Mark, you got something funny to say about
that?
You got a joke about that one?
I have not. That's a lovely hat.
No, it is. Yeah. Good cause. I would like this to warm slightly, because I feel like if it was slightly warmer than this, and I think we'd get even more of that aroma and flavour out of it.
Yeah.
Put it down my groin and warm it up.
Oh, no. Pissy hands are lovely.
Yeah, very warm hands, though. I just feel like some of those flavours and aromas would come out even more if it was a bit warmer. But, I'm reluctant to let it warm because I think we all just want to drink it, don't we?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
No, I am a massive fan of this. I think, as you said, the perfect balance in flavours there.
It's great.
Yeah, it's just really hitting the spot. Even, as you say, you know, we've had a couple of darker beers which seem perfect for the occasion that we're in. And, you know, this just seems like an all-weather smasher to me.
Yeah.
Yes, I completely agree.
AW,
all-weather.
All-weather.
All-weather smasher.
They have actually got an all-seasons pale or IPA on keg tonight, actually. So,
Key keg.
Sorry. Oh god.
Get it right, you fucking amateur.
engine cast.
Right.
I think "get it right, you fucking amateur" is the tagline of this whole podcast. Yeah.
Just going to very quickly go back to social media.
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
Please
we've
do.
Had some slightly more advancement.
Slightly more advancement.
Not in terms of knowledge, but I just have to give a shout out to Paul because he's absolutely been a man on a mission on this.
Good lad. Yeah.
So he has said, regarding US cask beer, I would ask at Lottie Peplow, Hoppy Lottie on Twitter, who actually very kindly has also responded to say, don't know numbers off the top of my head, but we'll do some digging, which I think is incredibly kind. So thank you, Lottie. Paul has also said, also Real Cask at Real Cask Ale, which is Yorkshire Square, at Real Cask Ale produce cask beer in California and may be able to help. Don't understand how Paul knows all of this, but he's an absolute genius.
He's a man.
Cheers, Paul.
We really appreciate it. And thanks Lottie as well.
Paul is a man that we need on this podcast, I think, for an episode for sure. Definitely.
We'll just sort of we'll have Mark's hello and then we'll just hand over. And then
hello,
we'll say cheers,
Paul.
See you later. And then we'll just leave it there.
Fantastic. Tom, what is your you're a big fan?
Just loving everything we said about it. I don't know.
Do you think it's everything that it says on the tin as well?
I know it's the winter and I know I should be wanting dark beers, and I have actually, in fairness, been like sort of hankering a bit for more like darker beers, but I'll never there's never not a time for us to do beers like this. I know Ashley's a massive pale fan, but like this is
as a man who will have a stout in July, I will say that this in November, this DDH pale in November is hitting the spot.
I think I genuinely think beers like this just transcend seasonality. And that, if that is what you put on the poster for this beer, I've just realised that was the best thing I've ever said. Put that on the poster for this beer. Transcends seasonality. Sounds amazing.
You should be there, marketing guy.
Bloody hell. Sensational.
It's the suit and tie.
It's
you're in there.
I've got a tie clip. I have never
worn a tie clip.
My tie's not blowing anywhere.
And I still haven't been in a loft.
My tie's not blowing anywhere.
There you go. There's your update.
Hold on. Back to social media corner. Beer is the answer at MJPO007. So,
Martin, how are you?
Martin from the Beer O'Clock Show. I had some cask in the States very recently from three different breweries, all in Massachusetts, and I thought they were all pretty good. The barman did mention not much call for it, though. So actually, you know, there are people doing it, and apparently doing it well, but it's pretty small, pretty niche.
Niche,
as they would say in the US.
Oh, is that how they say it?
Niche.
Yeah. Is it? Mm. Is that a thing?
I think that's how some people say it, niche.
Oh, right.
Whereas we say niche.
Niche.
Correctly.
Yeah, exactly.
Correctly, yeah. Sounds a lot better.
We say everything correctly, let's face it.
No, interesting. Well, I've enjoyed our live Twitter.
Sort of live. Yeah. I mean, this is going out later on.
Thanks to everyone for getting involved in that. That was incredible.
No, thank you so much. Absolutely brilliant.
So at the moment, this is leading the way. You can't compare a porter and a
ale, but in terms of what we're fancying tonight, I agree, as Mr. likes a porter as a rule. will say that this is definitely by far leading the way. This has been absolutely brilliant.
I think they've all been great so far, actually. You know, I think they've all been good examples of what they should do. But
I think
this is just my sort of wheelhouse.
Yeah, I think the DDH Pale and the Porter, I think, have been great. I think the Brown's been good. I don't know if I can go any further than good. But we've got one more to go as well, so we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see if that knocks it off.
Crack on with it.
Let's crack on.
In.
Definitely, yeah.
I'll finish this off.
So you just say what we're
pale.
Tom,
yeah.
You there? You say what one thing?
Sorry, boy. Pale, 4%. Mango, passion fruit, and orange with a light malt character.
Oh, fair amount of fruit to be picking out in this then. So
yeah, this one really excited me when I read about it.
Is it because they said mango right at the start?
Mango! And the orange as well. Oh, do you know what I've not had for a little while? That blood orange from Nobby's.
burnt ox bloke.
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful.
Class.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't had that. Yeah, I haven't had that for a while.
No, first five, and untapped that was.
I did have some blood orange Fanta recently. That wasn't the same. It was for Halloween.
Mm. I had a blood orange gin last week. I had a little.
But that was good.
I'm not a gin fan. I'm not a gin fan as a rule. But I was actually a big fan of it, I must say.
Yeah.
I fucking love gin.
Well, yeah, because I think blood orange is a good flavour.
Really good flavour. We got to make our own. We stuck some orange in it. And it was just, it was changed the game, the gin game for me.
The gin game.
Seriously. Also,
change the gin.
Sri Lanka has a lot of orange Fanta, and I'm hooked to it now.
Yeah. Orange Fanta? What? Normal orange Fanta?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it was. So good.
Wait, is it the same as it is here, or is it different? Because it's like when we went to Florida, if you get a Fanta there, it's fucking super Fanta. It's like it's the most orange thing you've ever seen in your
life. It was less sugary over there.
Oh, in America it's more sugary.
No, I remember in Vegas when we went to the Coca-Cola factory. Did they have Fanta there?
Yeah, they would have had Fanta, yeah.
It was
on Sri Lanka, by the way.
Oh, yeah, no, if you talk about it.
No, by all means.
Just a couple of good beers, really. That's it. Unfortunately, you know, you have a lot of the imported stuff. Although, what was quite funny is they have Carlsberg Special Brew.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which I didn't have. That's some other imported stuff. I mainly had Lion there. Not the Lion that took over for Pure. A different Lion.
Or a Lion Bar.
So, not
just,
a Lion
just
Bar.
Eating Lion Bar.
And not the Australian Lion.
No.
Good fuel
no, yeah, I remember you
but
saying...
But it's fair, the lager was all right. I mean, they serve a lot of their stuff in 60 milliliter bottles. So you're getting like, it's a pint and a bit, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then, on one fateful night, I had a pint and a bit of 8.8 stout, which was... Yeah, that was fantastic.
Right, okay.
Yeah, really not actually. It was weird because you don't think of a stout in a country that's bloody 30 plus degrees every day, sweating your balls off. But it was in the evening. It was really, really nice. Had a lot of quite nice general like the good stout flavour, like coffee. It was like sort of dark chocolate. It definitely had booziness to it. But yeah, it was mad. I just would never think that, and I didn't see. To be honest, I didn't see many people drinking it.
No.
It wasn't on offer everywhere, but it was on and offer enough places where people had the option. And obviously, a lot of people just went for the lager, which was good. I mean, I was saying to Ashley earlier on, like, all pretty much served in a nice frosted glass from the fridge, and you're in a country that's baking hot, and you just think, you know, any lager is going to be thirst quenching. But actually, it was all right, and I sort of was happy to have it a lot. And you know, drinking a can of Lion on the Gaul Dutch Fort while watching some Test cricket was just absolutely unbelievable. So
how was watching the cricket?
It was amazing, absolutely amazing. It sold out a bit unexpectedly, so we didn't get tickets for the first couple of days. But people don't know Gaul. I don't know how many people would.
Well, I love cricket, and I don't want to pause the anecdote. But should we cheers the beer?
Cheers.
Cheers. Because at least I can drink while you're talking about cricket.
So yeah, sorry. Yeah, carry on
So you can, if you don't get in, there's like an old fort that has kind of like tiered walls, and it overlooks the ground. So you have like amazing views of like of Gaul, and then the cricket pitches right in front of you. So you can see like plenty of the action, even though you are a bit further away.
Yeah.
But it was brilliant. So you had like plenty of guys coming around selling cans of beer and stuff. And over there, the beer is dirt cheap. Like it's anywhere between £1.50 to £2.80. Well, not even that. £2.50.
Perfect.
Like
yeah.
I think in one place I picked up a like a pint can for probably like 70p or something. It's a bit of a range, but yeah. And like the stout, the 8.8 stout that was over a pint was only about £2.20.
Ideal, isn't it?
And it was good. And the stout was good, actually. I was surprised because it was like they either did a generic lager or they did a really good stout. So it's really strange from the brewery, I think. But really awesome time. I'd recommend trying it to anyone. It's just
I mean, me and especially Kathy were incredibly jealous looking on Instagram every day and seeing your photos.
Yeah,
of it,
yeah.
Especially with the elephant as well.
Oh, it's amazing seeing the elephant incredible. And the safari park. It's just amazing. See him in the wild. When you hear a lot about like elephants being held captive and have like their tusks taken and all that stuff. See them in the wild, just enjoying life. It's amazing, yeah.
Yeah,
so,
no, absolutely.
Unfortunately, I didn't have a beer in my hand at that point, but it would be nice. but yeah, yeah, it was good. Yeah.
Perfect.
Well, we've thoughts on the pale?
It's good. I think it suffers for following the DDH. I think that's probably the only thing for me. I think if we'd had this prior to the DDH, I think I'd be a lot more positive about it. I think it's really good. It just isn't quite that DDH.
What I sort of picked up, like when I had a bit of a smell of it before, the fact that it's, what is it, mango, passion fruit and orange, you've got all those fruits mixed in there, it was kind of hard to pinpoint. Like, it's difficult enough if we're going to pinpoint all three, but I think it was difficult to kind of pinpoint one.
There's definitely fruity sweetness.
Yeah, you can definitely tell it's fruity, but in terms of pinpointing exactly what you're getting...
It feels like a lot of the things that we were getting in the DDH just sort of taken down a couple of notches. You know, there isn't as much hoppy bitterness, there isn't as much fruit, there isn't as much thickness. So all of those things that we were raving about with the DDH just taken down a little bit, which isn't a bad thing, and I think on a really hot summer's day I'd probably go for this over the DDH because you could just smash these. Mm-hmm. You know, at 4% it's just smashable. So if you know, this is one that sits firmly within seasonality for me. It doesn't transcend seasonality in the way that the DDH did. It's firmly within that seasonal box.
If you had the choice, so obviously, with, as you say, I agree with you in that I think it kind of suffers that it's followed the DDH, but if you'd have seen the pale and the DDH pale and you had the choice between one of the two, would the DDH have influenced your choice at all, or do you think you'd have just
had I not tasted them before?
Yeah, if it was just those two on the board there,
had I not tasted them before, I probably would have gone for the pale.
I think I would have as well.
Staying for another one, maybe go for the DDH after that, because I always feel like I want to start with something light, which is why before we started recording, I had the Karma Citra from Three Hills, 3.9%, which was fantastic. Again, a really smashable light beer.
Isn't it?
I didn't want to come in with something big. And I'm not typically the kind of guy that enjoys start big and go smaller. I'll sort of work my way up, if anything. Shall we go back to social media corner?
Social media corner. I'm not coming up with a jingle for that. Fuck that.
No, please don't. Wayne at Irish Beer Snob says, Ireland has bugger all.
Oh, that surprised me.
Yeah.
Maybe 30 or so pubs nationwide. It's a niche within a niche.
Wow.
So it's like a meta niche.
Bloody hell.
I like
or
that.
Niche. We should stop hanging out, Tom.
Mina niche. I feel like they say meta. Do they say meta?
Meta. Yeah, meta.
Yeah, but in America, I feel like they say different.
Was that your American accent?
Like meter.
What? No. What? I mean, they'll say that if they're talking about a meter, as in the unit of measurement.
Meter.
Meter.
Yes, Australian or something.
Yeah, I don't
Let's
know.
Call the whole thing off.
But niche, whatever.
Before we go into show tunes, Tom, your thoughts?
I agree with the kind of just the dialed down sort of thing, like you were saying, Ashley, about just. It's still for me incredibly drinkable and just again you like I said with the last what with the DDH, just that kind of great like aftertaste and like coating the mouth, it just makes you keep wanting to go back, and I mean I'm almost smashing this again. This is just my kind of thing. This is like really I could be on this all night.
100%.
Both of them all night, the DDH and the pale.
I think so, yeah. It's really hard now because of following from the DDH pale, whether I would say... I think taking the DDH pale aside, I probably could stay on the pale all night. I think the only thing it kind of suffers from, in my opinion, is that kind of mash of fruit. I think I kind of tend to like to lean towards one distinct flavour of fruit, and I think the three merged together there kind of doesn't work in my opinion.
No, but see, I like it. So I'm a big fan of an orange, lemon, pineapple, squash. So I will go for that over a straight orange, because I think that that complexity adds a little bit of frisson of excitement.
Well, you're a complex man.
I'm a complex man.
And I am a simple man.
Very, very simple palate.
Thanks.
But, and I just want to reiterate, describing it as a sort of dialed down version of the DDH isn't a criticism. It's not a negative.
No,
I think it's a perfect beer for a situation. Whether it's a chilly November night may not be the perfect situation.
That could be a factor into it as well, maybe.
But then the
DDH pair, I was saying, is an all weather beer. Do you think this is an all weather?
No, I don't think so. But I think, well, it probably is for me. But that's because this is my sort of bag.
That's your forte. Yeah.
For the average beer drinker, then probably not. It's probably not seasonal. But during the summer, I'm reaching for this every hour of every day.
I think so.
Because it's smashable.
Yeah. No, agreed. Totally agree.
I just feel like you could drink a lot of it and not. Or you might fall over at some point, but...
I mean, I'll fall over after a pint and a half. Something like that.
You know what I mean. But yeah, no... Yeah.
No, so it's
great.
From what I'm gathering, then I think the DDH pale sort of, I know as you say you can't compare pales and stouts, but overall in terms of what you say you would your favourite for the night, DDH wins.
I think so, but
I really
enjoy the India Porter.
Yeah.
I really like that kind of that roasted. The like the coffee and the chocolate, like the dark chocolate sweetness and the bitterness, and then with that hint of I did enjoy like that hint of passion fruit actually.
The India Porter would be my second place.
And it would,
I think DDH India Porter pale brown.
I think that's my exact order as well.
Yeah.
My God, are we actually in agreement for 1 week?
I think I just
good lord.
I feel like I'm thinking of the porter as in like this time of year, like it's perfectly suited it.
Tom, don't ruin a good thing. We've all agreed for once.
I think I agree. I do like that. I prefer to sort of go for those light styles.
I just think that the India Porter was a cracking example of that kind of beer.
Yeah.
You know, with the sort of fruity sweetness, and I just thought it was great. So, you know, whether we're biased by this time of year or not, we'll have to see. We'll have to try all four of these beers in July 2019 to find out. But
do you
right
think,
now,
do you think it would have been any different if we were inside?
It's warm in there.
It's warm and crowded
think
in there.
So, cause
it might have made a difference to the beers, like you say about
the DDS,
like, might have warmed a bit,
yeah.
Or like yeah, but. I don't think so.
No.
I don't think, not massively.
No.
Not massively. No. I'm quite content with how I've rated.
Fantastic. Well, before we pop off, any further updates on the social media?
No.
There's not a...
Nothing to report.
No, well, thank you to everybody who responded.
Sorry. So, we've had a response from Rob's Beer Odyssey, at Rob's Beer Odyssey.
Hi, Rob.
So, this is kind of convoluted, but it follows on from the fact that Paul asked if we're doing something on cask, we should talk about the difference between gravity and hand pulled.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, Rob's Beer Odyssey says, you can taste the difference between gravity or not, sparkler and not, sparkler and cask and keg, each to their own. Limited first-hand experience on cask in other countries, but traditional ideology appears to have an impact on beer style and hop addition in Belgium and Germany.
Okay.
So I think what I'm saying,
what,
you know,
I think Rob doesn't understand is how not
we
far
are.
We are into our
No, but I think it's
but thank you, Rob. Absolutely,
sort of,
thank you.
No, I think what it hits at is the fact that each country has its own distinct beer culture, and you know, cask is quite a big part of ours.
Yeah,
and it just isn't part of other people's, you know, you know, lagers are a massive part of German beer culture.
Yeah.
And I suppose to a certain extent they are ours as well, but in a different way. The sort of craft of,
and obviously Belgium have their own
massive,
sort of,
and Belgium
thing as well,
you know, all those, so you know, it's just different strokes for different folks, isn't it?
Yeah,
100%.
So each culture, develops differently and creates its own priorities, and cask has just been one of those traditions for us, I guess.
Yeah.
But we will give Rob's Beer Odyssey a follow. Thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you, Rob.
Cheers, mate.
Yeah, cheers.
Shout
thanks
out to
everyone.
That, shout out to everyone who responded.
Right,
yeah, you really didn't need
amazing.
To.
No, yeah, no, that's absolutely brilliant. Thank you so much to everybody. Well, I think that does it for this episode of...
You pissed up again.
No.
You just can't do it when you're in.
That was just a slip of the tongue.
Well, I think about that.
That about does it for this episode of Men Behaving Badly. As always, I'd like to thank Tom.
Thank you very much.
And I'd like to thank Ashley.
Cheers, boys.
And cheers.
Cheers, boys.
Cheers.